detective.
Thrill me.
Thanks for joining us again. We're right into the mix of Christmas. So, Shudder dragged me back, Jared.
Of course they did.
When I saw it, it was coming to US Shudder, I was like, ah, fuck. Clearly it's not coming to Australia, Shudder.
Yeah.
But bugger me, it was there. It's a Wonderful Knife from this year. Prior to that, let's just talk about what we've been watching. I have watched nothing.
Good.
Zero. Oh, Christmas movies.
How was that? There was nothing.
Well, the Christmas movies were great.
Oh, I don't even want to know what Christmas movies you've been watching.
I won't be letting anyone know about it. I'm keeping that shit to myself.
Funnily enough, I might be able to track it out through some of my accounts for things that I've allegedly been watching on various
allegedly
platforms.
You loved a couple of them. According to your...
Allegedly, I fucking rang it. Allegedly, I fucking got on the Amazon chat and said, what the fuck's this doing on here?
What did you watch?
So I was pretty low-key as well. Well, low-key. I finished Loki season two.
Did it get any better?
Disappointed. Because I thought the first season was really, really good. But this one just, I don't know, it just got stuck on things that were fucking boring me to tears.
Where are we with this stuff? I mean, have we hit the fatigue yet? Because it seems like box office is not as good.
I think there's a bit of that. Well, I saw the Marvels as well.
Right.
I did watch the Marvels. Yeah, I think there's a bit of that. I didn't think the Marvels was that bad. I actually think it was one of the better phase. What phase are we up to? Five? I think it was one of the better movies out of that phase. But as I said, you know, it's a bit sad to say that there's a couple of clear reasons why it didn't make money, because there's a section of the fan base that just don't want to get on board with some of that stuff. Personally, I thought it was a little bit unfocused, like a little bit kind of messy, which has been a hallmark of all of phase five for me. It was a little bit messy. I thought the Miss Marvel character was cool. I thought Brie Larson was fine. They introduced some things in it that could have been used to better effect, I think. But the villain was just like, okay, we've seen it all before and done much better. Again, I think they put a person in there whose acting chops is perfectly fine. It was just the character was just so thin. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know where we go. I think there is an element of fatigue, but I also think the quality is dipped.
And that spells problems as far as I'm concerned. The quality was at a level in the first few phases where it didn't matter. There was so many of them.
Yeah.
But they were all really good.
Yeah. And you know, you could avoid the odd misfire like Thor 2 and that sort of stuff because it was sandwiched in between other pretty good films. Mm.
But now we're getting hasn't been happening. We're just a slew of turds.
Yep.
Well, not turds, but they're not good.
Yep. So I don't know. There's obviously gonna be an element of fatigue when there's so many of them and you're broaching similar things each time. But this one was just another case of issues with the villains and what you're doing with them. Like, there just wasn't. I mean, the best villain of late has been Christian Bale by a fucking fair margin, but he was in a movie that just felt like he shouldn't have been in that one.
Oh, that was Thor, Love and Thunder.
Yeah. And he was excellent in parts, had a really cool motivation that would have worked in a different place, perhaps. But and the other one I watched was Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Oh, the 80s one.
The movie, yeah. So I'd seen Haunted Hills, Elvira's Haunted Hills, and I've tried to watch a little bit more of Elvira. Obviously, it's kind of similar to Joe Bob, right? We were always aware of Elvira, but not necessarily getting to watch the content. So, yeah, it was sort of cool to see or to start getting a bit more into it. And, you know, obviously having realised over the last couple of years that it was a lot more comedic than we ever realised when we were sort of just seeing pictures in Fangoria and things like that.
Exactly.
So, yeah, I've tried to dig in a little more and watch the two movies. I actually really enjoyed this one.
Mm.
I don't know how it was such a flop back in
89.
Yeah. I think it was perfectly fun. A lot of good laughs in there, I thought. So, yeah, I was pretty happy to check that one out.
All right.
And that was it for me.
All right, so slim pickings on the viewing front.
Yeah, just working around, rounding into Christmas form.
Yeah.
Trying to avoid whatever you're watching for Christmas and just kind of...
Good luck, mate, because it'll all be on your account.
Yeah, but, you know, I can, as I said, if it comes to a legal stoush, I've got some things up my sleeve.
Yeah, wait. All right, let's take a break. Here's the trailer to 2023's It's a Wonderful Knife.
Angel Falls, I give you Christmas.
The lights are so pretty. This is perfect.
Oh, what did you eat?
Last Christmas still haunts me.
Time to let that go.
No one cares. Everyone would be better off if I was never born.
Did you see that? Did the power go out?
Oh my God. I stood under the aurora and said everyone would be better off if I never existed. Well, wish granted.
The angel strikes every couple of weeks.
How can that be?
Do I know you?
It's Winnie. You know that.
Okay.
This her? Hi. Hi, I'm Henry Waters. You're safe now. He's not going to get you.
No one in this town knows me.
Who are you?
Dad. You weren't around to stop him, so he just kept going. He likes killing.
I'm here now. Let's have some fun. Hey, you.
Hey.
Merry Christmas. We gotta stop him and get my life back.
You'll be safe now. Leave.
It's a Wonderful Knife from 2023, directed by Tyler McIntyre, who directed The Tragedy Girls, produced by Michael Kennedy, Daniel Bakerman, who produced The Witch, Seth Kaplan, who produced Blood Feast, and John Negropontis, who produced VHS 99. It's written by Michael Kennedy, who wrote Freaky. It stars Jane Widdop as Winnie Carruthers, Joel McHale as David Carruthers, Justin Long as Henry Waters, and Catherine Isabel as Gail Prescott. Couldn't find any details about the budget. And currently the box office is about 825K worldwide. Catherine Isabel plays a character named Gail Prescott, paying homage to the characters of Sidney Prescott and Gail Weathers from Scream. All right. Thoughts, Jared?
Well, I thought it started reasonably strong. It's another one of these in the, you know, in this sort of freaky and totally killer mold, you know, in the wake of Happy Death Day, where they've taken sort of ideas from classic movies that haven't necessarily been applied to slashers and put them in there. So I was happy enough to explore that. I think it really starts to turn once we get into the change, and not for the better. The kills start to slow down. The story isn't necessarily all that engaging, and there's not a lot of surprise to it. So yeah, it kind of sucked, to be honest, to have not the movie, but it kind of sucked to have a strong start and then just have it never really get back to that. So I think I went 2.
I thought it was a cool idea, and for about half an hour it actually delivers on that idea.
Mm.
But then it just runs out of steam, kind of, and it loses focus on what it wants to be. And it's pretty damn boring in the middle. Like, there is not a lot happening, and it's kind of boring. I thought some of the performances were okay. I thought the killer looked cool. But overall, it just let down by that lack of focus. So I gave it 2.5.
Fair.
All right, straight out of the gate. I thought the concept was cool.
Yeah, of course. Yep. It's another, was another good way to go, I think. And especially it's got the added bonus that it's a Christmas slasher. And you can see sometimes people are going for that to have it, to give the movie some legs and some longevity, that it'll be something you come back to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it was a wise sort of idea to go with that setup.
Yeah. And I think it actually reminds me a little bit of Frequency in the concept situation.
Yeah.
That you change a certain thing and everything else in the timeline changes.
Yeah. Oh, well, I thought, you know, Totally Killer was definitely one that sort of, that reminded me more. I mean, obviously this has got, you've got It's a Wonderful Life, and it was pretty clearly playing on a Christmas carol, course, and yeah, stuff like that. So, yeah, I didn't necessarily get Frequency as much. I can see what you're saying, but there was less of the, if I do this, I see the immediate result of it, or correct, someone else sees the immediate
and
result.
And obviously it's trading on that whole, I'm, what if I wasn't here?
Yeah. Yeah.
And so when I'm not here, it's kind of, you know, the place kind of looked a bit like Back to the Future too.
Yeah, you know, yeah, you know, yeah.
Everything's all run down and ruined and everything like that. That sort of vibe. But conceptually, I think it works.
Oh, absolutely.
And could have been really, really cool.
Yeah. I mean, immediately after watching it, I was kind of sitting there thinking exactly that. I was like, I hope someone else takes a go at this, the same idea.
Agreed. I think, and this is the thing, Totally Killer works, is a similar type of concept, I guess, in a way, but does it 10 times better.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Justin Long, piss funny.
Yeah.
Those fake teeth.
He was a real tosser. Yeah, I couldn't stop laughing at the teeth. Yeah, I don't know why. Sort of,
and he kept looking like, he looked like fucking Chevy Chase in Fletch.
I was getting Donald Trump vibes.
Yeah, there was a bit of that too.
But yeah, every time he kind of walked in and he had the, yeah, he was showing off the big chopper. So I couldn't stop laughing at
him. He's kind of the best bit of the movie.
Like he's very good.
His involvement is good. Like every time we see him, he kind of sort of steals the sequences that he's in.
Yeah, I thought the cast in general was really quite strong, considering.
Yeah.
There was a few names. Obviously, I'd sort of kept up on this and read a few little reviews and whatever, but I'd missed that Joel McHale was in it. I'd missed that Catherine Isabel was in it. So I was pretty happy when I saw the cast.
Yeah, the cast is fine.
Yeah.
And I think they do serviceable jobs. Look, I'm not going to knock Joel McHale because I think he's a reasonably fine actor.
Yeah.
Solid actor. But there is this, always this feeling that he's gonna make you laugh.
Yeah, well, that's... My note was, like, I'm always fine to see Joel McHale, although I'd much rather it be on The Soup.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd much rather they revamp The Soup and bring him back to doing that sort of shit, because that's what he's perfect for. You know, he'll just stand there and put on a facial expression and you just think he's just going to crack a gag.
Yeah. And look, they try – he's playing an understated type of character.
Yeah.
And I think he does a reasonable enough job. Not like he's terrible.
Yeah, but there's a few issues that come up later around that.
Yeah.
I thought Catherine Isabel was good too. They kind of gave her a little sort of crazy sort of, you know, over the top sort of thing. And she was doing similar. I remember I mentioned she was in that Carrie TV version that they made. She was a bit like that in this, but she was in this one, it fit.
Yeah.
I liked her character.
Yeah, so did I. I thought she was one of the better characters there.
Yep.
The killer's outfit.
Yeah, excellent.
I really liked it. Yeah, yep. I liked the kind of angel style look, the face, the expressionless mask, the, you know, like it's kind of like a poncho type of thing it's wearing with a belt.
Yeah, really cool design.
Yeah, and a sort of a dagger as a weapon, which I liked as well. So overall, I thought the killer looked really good.
Yeah.
I must have got an extremely large laugh out of Buck. He's the first time we meet Buck with Henry on the street, and then he pulls out his phone and goes, "Hey, TikTok, I'm coming right at you," or something. And then he says something about, "If you want to see my dick, you can." And then he says, too big to fit under the tree, though.
Yeah, yeah.
It wanders off.
Yeah, that's right. Because he starts talking to fucking, they start talking about him doing OnlyFans or something. That's
right. Yeah, that's right.
So he start talking about, yeah. I got a bit of a laugh out of his look, too, because they kind of matched him and Justin Long.
He had some reasonable choppers as well.
Yeah. Although his were real. Yeah. I'm pretty sure they just kind of managed to match the look of them together.
Yeah.
In a quite amusing
And Long manner. Had like the tan and the fucking.
Yeah.
The sort of salesman bullshit he was always trying to pull. He kind of fit the brief of what they were clearly going for.
Yeah, very much so.
It seemed to be horror comedy is what they were going for.
Yeah, or early on that was definitely
what they were doing,
what it was looking like.
And I've got sort of some stuff to talk about later where I was kind of like.
But there's some confusing elements.
Yeah, confused. I was confused.
I was fucking confused at a number of things, but we'll get to that. You know, when it breaks out at the party and the kills all come along.
Yeah.
They're pretty good.
Yeah.
At that initial scene.
The first one's awesome with the old man. With the snowman at the door and then suddenly.
The next one. Again, there's a few issues like logistically how she didn't notice that something had just been jammed in the back of that guy's head, but it works beautifully as a.
Yeah.
As a movie kind of, you know, the fact that he just kind of starts spilling blood out his mouth and then you get the shot to show the candy cane in the back of his head.
Yeah.
Like, that stuff was really good.
And the fact that it kind of, we get all that before the credits roll.
Yeah.
So we kind of get the opening salvo, which is about 15 minutes or something, is it?
Yeah. I think it's
and
about
it kind of covers off on all that early stuff and we find out who the killer is. And obviously, spoiler alert, because we will be spoiling this, Jared, so if you're more interested in knowing what's going on, just check it out first before you listen to this. But the killer is Justin Long.
Yes.
To start with.
Yeah.
And all that stuff's cool. Like, you know, that whole chase sequence and then she uses the battery clips and that to his head and all that shit. And great. Like, and the fact that it all happens before the opening credits, I was kind of like, okay, we're off to a flyer here. We've dug straight into this thing.
Funnily enough, my son walked in when I first started watching it, and it was the scene where Justin Long was chatting to Mikhail on the street, and the family's going to go, he's going to make you work on Christmas again or whatever. Yeah. And he just kind of wanders in and he goes, are people going to die in this movie? And I said, yeah, probably. And he goes, it's him. At Justin Long, and I was like, well, you know, there's a fair bit to go yet. You know, you can't make it call it that early. But then they kind of went with that because they had that card up the sleeve of, oh, well, we're going to show this and then we're going to go.
Yeah, we're going to change everything.
Forward in time and, yeah.
Yeah.
So that was quite funny. And I was right on board. You know, when we get the first reveal before she makes the wish, I was like, this is on pretty good footing so far. Yeah,
so far, so good. I do, for some reason, Jared, I like the fact that Winnie sees a bloke demand to be kicked in the junk.
Yeah, I know. I immediately thought, you're going to love that. You are going to love that.
Kick me in the junk. They can suck my quiet cock.
The funny thing about this one was it just played no other part.
Yeah, I know. Kick me in the junk. Got kicked in the balls and that was it. I was kind of like, what the fuck was that all about?
Yeah.
Admittedly, I laughed, so I felt it was a lie.
Of course.
Now, look, I only had one other like, and that tells you kind of where we were going after that, is I did like the fact that Bernie admits it was kind of going to be her last Christmas.
Yeah, that was good.
But they don't. I guess the negative to that is they don't explore it much.
No.
It's just there for a second, and I'm kind of like, that's a cool op. That's
it
cool.
Feels, yeah, if it almost feels like they kind of cheated on it a little bit, used it as a bit of cheap heat. But initially I was liking that, and part of the reason too is because in the back end of the movie, one of the few things that I did like was Winnie and Bernie's relationship.
Yeah. I thought that was pretty well handled.
Yeah, that was the only kind of thing that I was in it for down the stretch. I thought the two actresses were doing a really good job of sort of putting that together, including that part where she kind of admits that things had been pretty shit and that was going to be it. But, yeah, you're right. It stops short of really going very deep into that.
Yeah, agreed. So I like the concept of it and I think it was well handled in terms of the acting performances.
Yeah.
But I've got some negative to it.
Yep, definitely.
But I had nothing else.
No, that was it for me.
Oof. We're pretty quick here. This one's a fast episode. Well,
there's a few more dislikes to chat about.
Okay. Straight off the bat, it's trying to be funny. It's trying to be a horror comedy, I think. Am I wrong?
No, I think initially it was seemingly heading in that direction.
But it's just not funny. Like, as it goes along, it doesn't generate much in the way of humour.
No.
And I started to think, well, maybe I was wrong. Maybe it just happened to be that opening part was kind of humorous.
My biggest issue wasn't necessarily that, but it's kind of like, you know, a little bit of comedy kind of goes hand in hand with the slasher sometimes.
Mm.
I just felt like after The Wish came along that we forgot the slasher part of it too.
Yeah.
So there was large chunks where we're working around this, but we're not, you know, there's limited kills and they're not very good. And so, yeah, I was a little disappointed from that sense as well. It didn't really get either of them all that right.
No. And, I mean, fuck, I know you wish that you weren't alive. What, and it turns the whole place into fucking old Detroit?
Yeah.
And Robocop?
Yeah,
I mean, holy shit.
Yeah, I know. Look, you're important to a number of people. And, yes, I get the part that, okay, well, you took out a guy who was...
Yeah, was sort of...
supposedly bad for the town. And then, yeah, he is bad for the town. But that shit doesn't happen in a year. As you said, it went from a... you know, what looked like a nice little town into just a fucking hellhole.
Well, again, but so Long had become the mayor. They kind of give you an explanation as to why this place has become a shithole in a year.
Yeah.
Right? But it doesn't seem like it. That doesn't make any sense.
No.
What would have been better was minor changes.
Well, so the thing for me is... okay, obviously you've got to illustrate it, but yeah, minor changes, but strong changes.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel like it gets to the point, yeah, we get the greed angle, but you've created this place that, like, he wouldn't want to be living there, surely.
Mm.
I mean, the place is a whole. So, yes, I get the greed part and I get, yeah, you're making money, but he's still living there. Why would he want to be there?
Exactly. So it's kind of...
they can't get your veneers fixed up in that place.
No.
The dentist left town.
But also it kind of like it too slavishly deals with that. So yeah. Everything sucks.
Yeah.
Like you're one person, you disappear, and the whole world turns to shit. Like that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, it's probably too much. Too much. It should have been more insular on the family.
Yeah.
But even the family, it was a bit over the top. But, yeah, I felt like by doing it to the whole town, you're just looking at it going, it's a lot.
Yeah. And look, I haven't seen It's a Wonderful Life in a while.
I've never seen it.
I'm
familiar enough with it.
I don't believe it ends up like that.
No. Correct. I also, early on, already stated, I absolutely love the look of the killer. But I've got one little nitpick. Through the very first massacre, it's a glistening white costume. He's killed a few people and he doesn't have a fucking drop of blood on it. I mean,
yeah,
you put me in a white T-shirt, I can't eat a fucking sandwich without it looking like I've massacred somebody.
Well, funny story, I put on a fresh shirt whilst I was having dinner. It was my Mumford Phys Ed
shirt.
So, you know, bringing back Beverly Hills Cop. Fucking by the time I finished dinner, she was covered in grease and shit.
Exactly. So if you're wearing this glistening white flowing robe.
And yeah, last time I checked, arteries fucking... guys had blood out.
Yeah.
They didn't just, you know, a little bit didn't just leak out.
I mean, to their credit, they do come around to it in a later set of kills and they do a very stylish, you know, splash of blood across the costume during a kill and, you know, it's framed up nicely and whatever. But I'm just looking at him at the end of the first run of three people that he's killed or whatever and she's You know, she's giving him the car battery or whatever it was. And he looks fresh.
He does. He looks freshly laundered.
It looks like it's just come out of a bucket of nappy sand.
Yeah, I know. A little bit hard. Look, again, you sometimes let that go, but when you're looking at a movie that you didn't really like, you start looking at all sorts.
Looking at that, and it's, you know, it happens a lot, but it's just so much more prominent in this one.
Yeah. Once we just get to the alternate reality, and she says, "I know who did it," I'm just like, yeah, we know that that's not what's going to happen, though.
Of course,
they just fucking immediately know it's not him.
Yep.
Like, and I know they come back to him at the end.
Yeah.
As being kind of like the puppet master of the whole thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, you just know that it's someone else.
I mean, was there any surprise at who it was?
No. Fuck no. No. Like, it was immediate. Stuck out like dog's balls that it was him.
Yeah. I thought it did too.
And there was no effort, Jared, to give you red herrings or try to make it mysterious.
No. I think that was one of the big issues with, you know, spending a bit of time with Winnie and Bernie. I felt like they still could have spent a bunch of time with them while still putting a few other bits and pieces out there.
Yeah.
Like the only one they really even try is Buck.
Yeah.
And that goes down the toilet pretty quickly, I thought. I didn't.
Yeah. So no real effort's gone into any of that.
No.
Which then says to me, well, what were you expecting the audience to do?
Well, I think it was just like, I don't know, it's not a lack of effort, but it was just, it felt a bit all over the shop. It felt a bit unfocused on the actual slasher part of it after we changed the reality.
Mm.
I felt it got caught up in the message, but what the fuck was the message? I mean, you are a victim of a crime. A year later, life is, you know, you're struggling with the grief. But then the message by the time she comes back is, no, you should be pretty happy.
Yeah.
Don't struggle with that. Like,
yeah, there wasn't a lot of takeaways from it.
No, and I think that's the part that you got to get bang on, don't you? If you go on with the It's a Wonderful Life part, you've got to have that part really strong.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of things about that really confused me.
Yeah.
Here's where Joel McHale's issue comes in for me. You mentioned, and you've probably got a bit more to say about it, but the whole dramatic versus comedy thing for him. We're supposed to be getting a little bit of dramatic when we get to the Christmas day a year later, right?
Yeah.
It just comes off as really odd. Like the behavior of the family, like it's partly the writing that we're fucking pretending that we're not talking about it or something like that. But you see McHale and he's trying to do that, the classic Joel McHale shit eating grin.
That's
it doesn't really fit with the trying to be dramatic about it. And it all culminates with everyone else is just pretending things are just going along and whatever. It culminates with her getting a tracksuit and him getting a car. And I'm like, look, I don't mind getting underdone on the Christmas presents occasionally, but if that happens, I'm blowing up too.
Jared, one year I got a packet of custard creams. Okay, so fucking shut up. And you know what, Jared? I hate custard creams, but I fucking hate them. And I hate every one of them.
Yeah.
Okay? Yeah, I get the shits. I got dudded. Like, I get a tracksuit, a lesbian tracksuit, I believe.
Yeah.
And this prick gets a car?
Yeah, I'll blow it up.
Oh.
I mean, I'm fucking throwing the custard creams at that point.
I mean, admittedly, he bought him like a Dodge Ram or something, so it's a massive car. Buy me a small runabout.
I'll take a second hand. Get me something.
Actually, no, I won't, because you never know what the fuck's in those things. You know when they get a black light out on them in Top Gear? There's fucking shit on the steering wheel.
Let's see. Do we talk about the logistics of how you get it there?
Yeah. Oh no, that's pretty.
You purchased the car off that poor bloke. Remember there was that story of the bloke that was speeding home because he had diarrhea. He got pulled over by the cops and fucking simultaneously shat himself and got a ticket at the same time. So maybe it was his car.
You know what? I'm fucking fighting that charge. I'm serious. I'm fighting that.
I'm taking a photo of my car seat and saying, look what you did to me.
I was rushing home for legitimate purposes.
Yeah.
And we've all been there, Jared. You know when the damn enchiladas kick in, you fucking...
yeah.
And you're driving home, you're like, oh, shit. Jesus Christ. Yeah, what? Jared. Funny story. I was walking to work one day and... things kicked in. The morning fever dump came about, and I'm fucking walking past like a park, and I'm not joking. At 25 meters in front of me, there's a building that I could access, an actual building that belongs to my workplace.
Yeah.
And I could access it and use the fucking bongers in there, and then they're perfectly fine. But no, I fucking legged it down to one of those self-cleaning crates in the park. I can guarantee you, Jared, some fucker has recently OD'd in there.
Yeah.
And there's probably half a dozen fucking used syringes in the toilet.
If they have done that, they've fucking shat everywhere before they've done it.
And I dropped the, and the fucking place had no toilet seats. Yeah, what, Jared?
You gargled, I'm assuming.
I had to fucking engage my core.
Yeah, engage your core while you're just dropping the rest of it out your backside.
Shit, sorry. I digress. That's fucking not on, but...
I mean, unfortunately, we've got stories that could go all night. I don't think anyone wants to hear that.
No, I know. No. Nobody needs to know the fucking disgusting manoeuvres of this pair. Talking about getting fucking put off. You wouldn't listen to us again. Shit. All right, let's get back to the... get away from...
The straight line here.
You are 100% correct. Joel McHale at times looks like he's trying to make a joke. Even that dramatic sequence where he talks to her in his office and says that, you know, who the fuck are you? You leave my house.
Yeah.
Even that, he does better there, but he hasn't quite got that level of chops, maybe.
As you put it very succinctly, he's not Robin Williams when it comes to switching between the comedy and the dramatics.
No, he's not. But few are. But the fact is, he's got a face that doesn't help him.
No, no. Yeah, because he always looks like he's
on up the cusp for a laugh. Of making a joke, yeah.
Yeah. He looks like the bloke you want to say, yeah, let's go down to the pub and fucking have a good old laugh. And yeah.
I think there might have been a little bit of CGI blood too, Jared.
Possibly.
In a candy cane death, and you know how I feel about that shit.
Yeah.
Come on. I mean, fuck, if Tom Savini could do it in 1980, you pricks can do it now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
So it's unacceptable, in my opinion.
Yeah, it's clearly just a cost thing, and it sucks.
Yeah, it sucks.
Indeed. Speaking of that, after the candy cane, there's not a memorable kill.
No. And there isn't a kill for about fucking 40 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. And we started so strong. And, you know, the only one we get after that is that bozo from next door that's bringing the drugs to the parties in both.
Yeah.
Both sequences. I'm just like, oh, God. This is
he the guy who gets his head cut off?
Yep.
Because, fuck, I've got a problem with that sequence. It's a cool idea, but it's fucking so poorly shot. All the flashing lights and clashing, like everything's fucking clashing. You can't see anything or barely see anything. And then they take the same approach with the camera in the cinema.
Yeah.
Which fucking great idea.
Yep.
But it sucks. Like, it's so badly shot. It's like, I can't see anything. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah.
You need to clean that up. That's your job.
It's touch and go when you do something like that, because it can work beautifully, but then yeah, it's probably easier to get wrong when you're dealing with something where you're just getting a flash every few seconds of the frame and stuff. It's got to be good.
I believe they use something similar in Saw, but it works better.
Yeah, it works a lot better in Saw. I've seen it a few times, but Saw is the one that I remember.
Yeah.
And I thought, yeah, I thought it was quite good then. We spoke about, you know, not really being shocked when, again, spoilers, which we've already mentioned, but Joel McHale being unmasked as the killer in this changed reality. It always just seemed to be pointing that way, especially with the starting, oh, yeah, he's the boss who always makes him do this and that. And as you said, we didn't really get pointed in another direction that seemed feasible.
Except for Buck when he approaches her and says he tells her he should hate her and all that sort of shit.
Yeah. But it also, it's lacking a little bit of sense because, well, here's my big thing, right? We laughed heartily last week when you were talking about comparing heights and shit. But she specifically says, he's kind of your height. And I get, yeah, okay, well, she's talking from a sense that she already knows you did this.
Yeah.
But Joel McHale's like 6'4".
Justin Maybe Long's he's a bit like 5'8".
Justin Long is very short. But she's already had an encounter with him the second time. It's hard to mix those two up, isn't it?
No, it's very hard.
Yeah, no. that part didn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
No. And fuck, he's a foot taller than him.
Yeah, like, McHale's a big man, especially when you see them standing on the street next to each other.
I know. I mean, Long's 5'8".
Yeah, yeah, he'd be more in
or
that
Or if he's
range
like me, he lies and tells everyone he's 5'10".
Yeah, I'm 6. You're flat 6.
You're flat 6? What does that mean? You're 5'10".
Yeah, yeah, yeah. 5'10", 5'11", somewhere in that range.
Oh, fuck, I wish I was an afro 6'5".
Yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah, correct. You could not miss it that these two are totally different.
Yeah, if you're going to play that angle, we'll actually pick two actors that are similar heights so it doesn't become a
But also, thing. Also, point it out. And then have a few options who are tall.
Yeah.
Two tall options.
Yeah.
And you did have. You had Buck, you had fucking, you had the jock.
Yeah.
Guy who was in love with her, who was her boyfriend in the original reality and then was dating the other girl.
Yeah.
What the fuck was all that shit about?
Oh,
they're in love
just,
with each other and that. What
I think it was just it was just another highlighting, my mentality's changed, but I still don't think you'd be real happy about being deceived by somebody for a year.
But also, who gives a fuck?
No.
Like, once again, you're going away from the slasher element.
Yes.
To engage with characters who are fucking useless. Like,
and again, it
should have been more about the two characters were Bernie and Winnie.
Yeah.
Getting to know each other.
But again, initially there was zero surprise to that because there's a part where he goes, oh, yeah, I'm going to talk to someone. And the other girl goes, yeah. I'm going to go and do something, and you're just like, okay. Mm. So they're getting together. Again, I don't care if it's – I know that's not the surprising part for me, but why even bother with that?
Yeah.
If you're going to spring it, oh, it's a surprise for her. Well, fuck, it wasn't a surprise for us. So I just don't even know why you bother if you're just going to put it out there so openly. But, yeah, it was just another one of those things where when we get back to the reality, I'm confused about what the message is for her other than be really happy for all this shitty stuff that's happened to you.
Yeah.
And, like, going back to the Christmas morning, Joel McHale actually says, and I can't remember what it was that we spoke about this. Was it Scream? When we're talking about how everyone cracked up when Billy's like, oh, it's been a year.
Yeah. That's right.
Well, he says exactly the same thing. He basically is like, oh, why would you want to relive that? You know, it's time to get over it. I think someone actually says it's time to get over it. Is it?
It's only 12 months and, fuck.
12 months, your best friend. You know, especially if it's exactly a year, it give us some leeway to have a little bit of reflection.
I can be slightly unhappy, surely.
Correct. Especially when you got me a fucking tracksuit.
Yeah. If you'd given me a chick runabout, I'd be fucking pretty happy. Yeah. I probably would have forgotten about it.
Fuck, I'd prefer the custard creams to that tracksuit.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. Sarah, because...
What if it was Tim Tams?
Would you if it was a fucking pack of Timmies, I probably would have been fucking very happy.
How many are there in a pack of custard creams?
They were in short supply when I was a kid. I wasn't fucking knocking... You know, contrary to people's beliefs... Anyone who's outside of Australia, we don't just fucking chew on Tim Tams all day long. Well, they're expensive.
Speak for yourself.
They're expensive, and when I was a kid, they were a luxury item.
Yeah.
Like, I wasn't getting a Tim Tam all the fucking time.
Can I just, speaking of Tim Tams and how we don't kind of stuff them down our gullets all day, every day.
On a regular fucking basis.
I walked into the tea room at work the other day, and... It's a big place, right? So, like, there's a lot of staff. So, put it this way. When the new packet of biscuits gets put in the thing, if you see a Monte Carlo or a Kingston, you fucking get on that. Because it's going to be gone in 10 minutes. I wander in there and someone's left a whole packet of salted caramel Tim Tams in there. And I think it was like a brownie kind of thing. So, it was kind of gooey middle.
So, you were fucking...
I've kind of... I opened the packet knocked off the first two, and then someone else came in. It was one of my mates there. I'm like, get on it now because they're not going to be here long. So, yeah, I was looking after myself and I was stuffing Tim Tams in my face.
But when we were kids, mate, we were not lazing around in pools of Tim Tams.
No.
So if someone had given me a packet of Tim Tams for Christmas, I'd have been fucking
happy as.
I would have been happy as Larry.
I mean, you'd be so excited, you'd shat yourself.
Close enough. Or at the minimum, I would have legged it to a fucking dirty...
A perfectly clean toilet. 10 metres away and said, fuck that, and run another 100 to the dirtiest possible toilet you can find. How many custard creams do a packet?
About 10
a dozen?
12 maybe. But you know what?
You didn't like them.
No, I wasn't a custard cream guy. You know, I tell you what, if you're looking for cream with me, you know, take notes here, everyone. But
Kingston, they're creamy.
I like those ones, but I like an orange cream. You know.
Okay.
I'm slightly off skew.
Well, no wonder people were buying you other things. Like, fuck, no one. Surely no one likes an orange cream. You got that wrong. Maybe you said custard cream.
Well, I can tell you this much. I ate them.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, this is what happens at Christmas. It's the spirit of Christmas. So you eat a fucking packet of custard creams.
We come from a family where people often get things that they specifically mentioned. You know, I recall... saying directly to your mother one time, oh, I don't really like plum pudding. And the next fucking at Christmas that year, she's like, oh, I got a plum pudding because Jared likes that. And I'm like, no, I don't.
I think you were speaking to a different person.
I told you specifically I don't like plum pudding.
Yeah, fuck. And look, fruit and cream is a big deal in our
of course.
Hole. But this year we're doing the club.
Yes.
You'll find me in the club this year.
Pissing and moaning when you get served up a fucking...
Well, I'm already... I haven't even fucking got there and I'm pissing and moaning because it doesn't include grog. The price does not include grog.
Who teed that up?
Oh, fucking hell.
You didn't get me a fucking beverage package?
I tell you this, mate. Some prick with no fucking sense.
Beverage package.
To me, if I'm paying $125 a head, I want to get shit-faced too.
Yeah, fuck.
Well, at the minimum, lightly sozzled.
I'm smoking up a brisket, so I'll be drinking beer the whole time.
Oh, so you smoking it up out here, are you?
I'll be smoking a brisket.
Fucking hell, I might have to turn up here.
Gagging for a beer by that point. I've had a fucking bit of dry old lamb.
Yeah.
I need a beer.
I've fucking immersed myself in an old person's fucking buffet.
Yeah. The fucking chicken was as old as the clientele.
It was cooked by my fucking ancestors, so it was as hard as a rubber boot. Holy shit.
You're going to love it, I can tell.
Yeah, I'm looking for, as everyone can clearly hear, I'm fucking looking forward to Christmas in a big way.
Oh, good. Can't wait.
Have you got anything else? Because I had nothing else.
I did. I think it was like the ending. it just comes off as so odd after the way it starts.
Yeah.
Like that she goes back and goes running down the street. And I get it. That's the It's a Wonderful Life part.
Yeah.
Like, but it just doesn't fit. And it goes back to what you were saying. The tone gets all mixed up. Then we go through that really boring patch in the middle that kind of gets really dark by the end of it with Justin Long on the stage and
yeah.
giving out the presents and all this sort of shit. And then we just go back to this gleeful kind of cheery running down the street. It just, yeah. it just comes off as really weird. So I think it was just sort of wrapping the bow up on the strange sort of tone, how it shifts through the movie. So yeah, that was probably the end of it for me.
Yeah, I didn't have anything else. Look, she was a bit of a slog, this one.
It wasn't
up to the standard of Totally Killer. Like, Totally Killer was a similar concept, not exactly the same, but worked well within the framework of the slasher.
Yeah.
Whereas this one didn't seem to know what it wanted to be. It wanted to be a slasher in parts. It wanted to be comedic in other parts. It wanted to be dark.
Yeah.
In other parts, like, it's just.
Just pick one.
Pick one, yeah. Pick one. And if you're talking to me,
get the message right. Get the fucking the change between, you know, I like tying it to the killer. That would have worked perfectly fine, but it just didn't feel like it really landed. It was just kind of meandering to this message that when you got there, you're just like, really? That's really strange. Telling the person that was close to death, nearly lost someone that they love. Did lose their best friend to just kind of be like, no, just get over it.
Buck up, and then you'll be fine.
Come back to her, oh, I'm bucked up now.
Yeah, we're go. Perfectly fine now.
Like, that just seems. And then Joel McHale comes in and goes, oh, we'll stop. I can't remember what he says, but essentially says, oh, we'll start talking about it. We'll stop ignoring it now. What?
Yeah, I don't know. Too many mixed messages, Jared. Mixed messages.
Correct. I think the only thing that I did actually enjoy was the two leads kind of getting together, and I did enjoy the Bernie storyline. So that part of the ending did work for
me. Yeah, fair enough. All right, that is It's a Wonderful Knife. You can find us on Podomatic, iTunes, Spotify, and wherever else you get your podcasts. Send us an email, thrillme@iinet.net.au. We're on Facebook at Thrill Me Podcast Australia, Podomatic at thrillme.podomatic.com, and Instagram at thrillmepodcastau. Make sure you rate and review us on all the platforms. It's Christmas time, so expect a couple of Silent Night Deadly Nights and a bit of other sort of certifiable bullshit in here.
Can't wait.
For over the next few weeks. But keep an eye on the Facebook page. You'll know what we're covering in the next few weeks. But until then, take it easy, everyone, and we'll catch you later. Cheers.
Find the podcast at Podomatic or on iTunes. Don't forget to rate and review. Like us on Facebook at Thrill Me Podcast Australia, or contact us at thrillme, all one word, all lowercase, at iinet.net.au.